Well, thank you very much for that kind introduction, Michael, and if I could likewise acknowledge elders past and present. Could I also acknowledge Michael and Michael Blythe and his contribution? I think we're going to be all right, but I'm not really sure, but it's not as gloomy, I think, was the takeaway message, but thank you for that. If I could acknowledge other special guests, I did want to just especially mention Mike Bruce at the table here. Mike, good to be working with you. And Miles Hampton, who's at the back of the room. I think the last time that I was here, I fielded some pretty difficult questions on Tazewater. I'm hoping that we won't get to that point today, because I think it's going very well, the new partnership. And thanks for all of the work that you both put into to help us get to that point. Now, today, I'd like to just touch on the Tasmanian economy. I want to speak broadly about our population and where we're at the moment, where we're heading. Have a look at the infrastructure response that we're providing. I want to talk about the fiscal environment and where we are heading, and also then touch on some topical issues and leave you with a story about cricket. In terms of our economy, I'm just wondering if I've got a... In terms of gross state product, our economy's now more than $30 billion in size. The beaut thing in terms of GSP is that we grew in the last 12 months at around 3.3%, which was the strongest and the highest rate of growth in the decade. Growth was higher than what was occurring in the country, and that's only the fourth time that that's occurred in a quarter of a century. On a per capita basis, we've actually got the fastest growing economy in the country, nearly double the Australian average. I was pleased when CommSec actually put out a number of growth over the previous 12 months of around 6.9%, which has certainly taken some explaining in terms of the media and a few other interested commentators. But I think the very good news that we've got is that we are in a situation where our economy is strong. And importantly, it's very broad-based. Whoops, if I pinch back and find the one that I wanted. It's very broad-based. And what we're seeing is that in almost every sector, there's a diversity in our economy, and almost every sector, bar one, is growing strongly. If we look at state growth in final demand, again, very strong growth. We are... In terms of SFD, the growing at the second highest rate in the country. We've had significant contributions to that growth from increased activity in household consumption and private investment, which I'll cover off in a moment as well. In terms of retail trade, 50 consecutive months of growth, which has been fantastic. And whilst I know we've just heard from CommSec, I was very pleased that ANZ earlier this year said Tasmania is the best performing state according to the ANZ Stateometer. Exports have been particularly strong, and you know, again, we've got a lot of macro influences that are playing very strongly to that. The low Australian dollar is certainly helping. But in terms of the previous year, we had the highest level of exports ever recorded for the state. And importantly, we're seeing some really strong growth in the education sector as well. And you know, I think we all recognise the value that that can bring to the state. Our Asian markets, the most important destinations, China, like the country, our single largest trading partner, but Japan, Korea, have both grown substantially over the last year as well. And tourism, you could almost run a completely separate slide on tourism, but we're seeing growth in that area, which is almost exponential. Over the last 5 years, over 30% growth, around 1.3 million visitors to the state now, around 80% coming from interstate, and a growing component of international visitors as well. China has been a massively important market for us, and growth has been over 170% in visitation over the past 5 years, no doubt. Flowing off the back of the President's visit and some very strong work that's been done by both Tourism Tasmania and the Department of State Growth, along with many of the industry sectors that have engaged in a very strong and healthy way with their trading partners. We move on to the overall economy going above trend. I know Treasury's here, and they'll hate me saying this because I usually make this point. Very conservative, but even they have ratcheted up our growth figures for the coming year, which is fantastic. Anton, good job. Thank you. The revised estimates report indicated that it looks like, certainly from a Treasury perspective, that our economy will grow at a faster rate than what we brought down in the budget, which from the point of view of a Treasurer is a very good thing. I want to talk about confidence and investment growth. The growth wouldn't be occurring if businesses weren't confident, and if businesses weren't confident, they wouldn't be investing. And what all of the national indicators tell us is that across the country, Tasmanian businesses are, generally speaking, the most confident in the country. Now, it bounces around from month to month in terms of the surveys, but on balance, Tasmanian businesses are the most confident in the country. And what we're seeing has been a strong increase as well in regional Tasmania, which has been something that, as a government, we've been very keen to see. There is no doubt that confidence rose very quickly in Hobart in the last handful of years, but obviously other parts of the state didn't rise as quickly, but we're seeing very strong regional confidence across the state as well at the moment. And importantly, that confidence is leading to high levels of investment. Private new capital expenditure was 32.4% higher over the previous 12 months, the highest annual growth rate in the country, and significantly outperforming the national average, which for the previous 12 months was just a fraction over 0.1%. And as a result of that investment, as a result of the confidence, what we're seeing is employment numbers increase. Now, we've now got more people employed in the state than we've had before. We're finding that businesses have got the confidence to employ. In fact, one of our challenges, and I know with Jenny being here from TasTAFE, one of our challenges is actually ensuring that we've got a sufficiently trained workforce, and importantly, that we're able to accommodate those from interstate with attractive enough packages to get them here to actually provide the support that we need in those areas where we do have significant skills shortages. But in terms of our employment outcome, I was in Scottsdale towards the beginning of last week. And one of the things that really surprised me, and for those of you that understand the Scottsdale story, they lost timber mills, they lost significant vegetable processor over the years. And over that time, there was a transition in their economy to where they now have a number of world-class golf courses. In fact, I'm sure many of you in this room have probably played at Barmbergle or Lost Farm. The tourism offerings that they're putting out in the northeast, especially with the mountain biking, having real impact. And I found the town to be the most confident that I've ever experienced. In fact, in the 25 years that I've had some engagement with that area of the state. And I think it says a lot. When areas that have been hit pretty hard are doing much better and the people are confident and they're starting to spend, at the end of the day, we know that the benefits are being more broadly spread. And that's certainly something that as Treasurer and as a government we want to continue with. Our population is a fantastic turnaround story. If we look at the growth that we're having in our population, it's growing at its fastest rate in nearly a decade. If you look at the long-term average growth rate to 2014, the previous 20 years, it was growing at around 0.4% per annum. In the last 12 months, it grew at 1.1% or thereabouts, almost three times at the long-term rate of growth that we were seeing up until 2014. Now, that's bringing with it some challenges for obvious reasons. In the last year, around 5,200 more people needed to be accommodated in Tasmania. And it's interesting when you look at what's occurring. In terms of the natural increase, it was around 800 in the last 12 months, which was 200 lower than the previous year. But we saw a significant uplift in terms of both international and interstate visitors that are calling Tasmania their home. That's something as a government that we have to be cognizant of, and that those of you, in fact, that are running some of the large government businesses or other government businesses or other businesses here in the room, we've all got to be cognizant of. You know, demand is going to continue increasing as population growth underpins the economic story here in Tasmania. It's something that we will have to be cognizant of and strategic with. Now, in terms of our response, as a government, obviously one of the levers that we can pull is infrastructure. The bars on the screen relate to a four-year spread of infrastructure that we introduced in each of the budgets. When we came to government in 14-15, our response was at a time when we were fiscally tightening. The expenditure across the public sector was to take the view that what we should do is continue to invest in infrastructure, that investment would hopefully encourage increases in confidence. If it were well placed, would lead to private sector investment coming off the back of it, which is, you know, I'm pleased to say, is broadly speaking what we've seen occur. But as you can see across the period to now, where we've got a $2.6 billion infrastructure program, and in fact in the mid-year update we actually invested and brought forward slightly more than, or slightly less, I should say, with Treasury here, around 80 5 million, I think it was, to be close. 88, sorry, it's up on the bloody screen. Sid Michael, we don't have the benefit of the screen in front of us. $88 million worth of additional infrastructure spending in the RER. You know, as a government, we've got to continue to ensure that we invest. The growing population that we've got, the demands for additional services, the need to improve our productivity. As a government, we will continue to stay the course in terms of that infrastructure investment. And importantly, for those in the room, and I know that there are some that have got a real interest in this, we're actually having a look at, you know, and working very hard within government to look at our delivery mechanisms to ensure that we can get the money out the door and the projects underway as quickly as we can. But it's been a significant shift, as you can see, in terms of the overall expenditure. Just to finish on that, the budget, the last budget, over $1 billion was included in it for roads and bridges, you know, around $500 million worth of spending on health infrastructure, significant investment into human services and housing, including affordable housing, and obviously we've maintained what has been the largest infrastructure spend into our schools at around $50 million a year each year over the forward estimates to upgrade, largely speaking, our high schools, which when most schools were upgraded, or the spending post the GFC occurred and a lot of primary schools were upgraded, we've got a lot of high school stock that still needs work on. Now I want to talk about the fiscal environment, and it's been quite a journey. They were the actual numbers in the preceding 4 years when we came to government. We delivered a small deficit in the first year that we were in government, and then we've been able to build, and they were our actual outcomes over the 4 years just passed. In the forecasts, as I explained in the mid-year update, the surpluses that we introduced, which were broadly speaking around a couple of percent of our overall revenues that were forecast in the budget, those surpluses moving forward are much smaller. We announced at the time that we'd invested around $113 million of additional funding into health. What's been interesting in terms and challenging as well in terms of health, if you go back to 2017 and we had the flu epidemic, and demand increased substantially in that particular year, but it hasn't abated at all. In fact, the demand is continuing to grow, and our emergency departments are now the doctor of choice for many young people, many old people, and we're seeing increasing presentations with more difficult and challenging acuities, and a lot more older people coming through the doors, and so we will need to continue to invest. I want to just touch on moving forward. Obviously, we're now framing the coming budget for 1920. And it's interesting, I was talking to Michael about the economies of Victoria and New South Wales. And with the backing off of their housing market in those areas, what we're going to see in coming years is the revenues that they generated at a state level will decrease. And in fact, they've written down their budgets considerably already. What this will mean for a state like ours, it's going doing better, and the GST has that unfortunate outcome where the better you do, the less you get. In terms of the next couple of years, we will see significant change in our GST receipts on the basis that the larger states will actually take more out of the pool. And it's something that, as a government, we're going to need to be very cognizant of. I've said this on a number of occasions, and I want to say it again today. You know, the challenges that WA had over the years in terms of their economy, albeit it was driven by one sector, ours is quite diverse. They found, as their own source receipts rose, that their GST came off, but they continued to spend. Now, we're going to have to be very cautious and I like to think responsible and sensible in setting the next budget, because there is no doubt that our revenue situation will change, and as a government, we are determined not to become the next Western Australia, nor the next Northern Territory, the Northern Territory with more red ink than the eye can see as well. So, in terms of our fiscal position, strong economy, in a good place in terms of our revenues, but we know that, that there will be changes, and we need to ensure that we manage those changes sensibly. I want to touch on a couple of topical issues to finish with. City deals, Project Marinus and Battery of the Nation, the public sector, and Tasmania on the national stage, and that's where I'll get to cricket. In terms of the city deal, I won't run through all of the points there, but in terms of the deals that have been landed around the country, in Launceston, the city deal was around $300 million. In Townsville, it was around $250 million. Geelong, $130 million. Darwin, $200 million. And Western Sydney, if you you take out Badgerys Creek, was about $900 million across 20 years. Now, those of you that have read the Mercury today, I must admit I was a little disappointed in terms of their commentary. I'll deal with STEM first of all. And the paper yesterday, they ran three pages from the university explaining why and what the process was in terms of their STEM project, and the fact that they, as a university, still haven't made their mind up in terms of what the right way forward is for them. To make the point this morning that STEM wasn't in there and was much anticipated, seemed to me to be a little misguided. In terms of the overall quantum of the deal, if you add up where Tasmania's at, with the $1.4 billion that was captured in yesterday's deal, plus what's in Launceston, or the Launceston deal, which is now around $400 million because there's been another $100 million that's been applied to that for work on the Tamer, just under $2 billion in city deals have been captured. Now, compared to deals in the rest of the country, I think that's a pretty good outcome. The other point I'd make is that there's $450 million in this deal that will flow through the state that will be spent on upgrading our Antarctic bases. And for the life of me, I can't understand why both the commentary last night and today was dishing that. The last time I looked, there were no Woolworths, there were no Dan Murphy's, there were no opportunities to go and watch movies or to discretionary spend money in Antarctica. The wages will be paid to people, broadly speaking, based out of Tasmania. Those wages will largely be spent in our economy, and importantly, a lot of the services and materials will also be purchased out of our economy as well. And so in effect, we've just received a $450 million or thereabouts injection into our state economy, and I think that's a pretty good outcome. The other thing it does, it also cements Hobart as the gateway for Antarctica in terms of both the national position but internationally as well. We'll move the conversation forward in terms of the development of the hub at Mac Point, and the city deal is quite clear that the state and federal government will now move to the next step to look at who is best placed from both the national and private institutional basis to become the anchor tenants at Mac Point. And then the rest of the deal, which goes to some of those areas that we know that we have pressure points: congestion, affordable housing. I'm pleased with the Northern Suburbs Transit Corridor. And I want to make the point, there may be some trainees in the room. I think that what we've got to do is determine what the most appropriate method of transport is on that Northern Suburbs Transit Corridor. Sure, it could be light rail. A lot of the experts today are talking about moving to trackless trams. You know, we shouldn't be looking back at the arguments for the last 5 years. What we should be doing is looking forward at where we want to be in 25 years' time, and that will be the first conversation that we'll be having. Let's determine the mode of transport, and then there's $25 million to take the first steps in that regard. Project Marinus, announcement by the Prime Minister today of a $2 billion fund that they're establishing, importantly for Tasmania, $56 million to take the next steps in terms of the planning and approvals process for the link. The rest of the country wants what we have, needs what we have, and this is a fantastic opportunity for us. I'm sure that there'll be more said in coming weeks in regard to this. I think importantly we've got to ensure as we work our way through this, this will be a significant investment. More than $5 billion, and I think once we bring the private sector into play as well, we could be talking $7 to $8 billion worth of overall investment that will be captured and need to be managed through this this period. But a significant step taken today by the Prime Minister, and I'm very pleased that as we work through coming weeks, I'm sure that we'll have more to say in what will be a game changer for Tasmania. I want to just touch on the public sector. I noted again Michael's comments about wages and that they should go up. Just wanted to say and just put our position clearly on the record here. Wages are around 50% of the state budget. This is always going to be a very, very challenging space for us, and one that we need to manage very carefully. Our wages policy is 2%. Wage price index, though, you know, if you look at public sector wage growth in Tasmania the previous 12 months and the previous 12 months before, that's been well above 2%, around 2.4, I think, was the previous 12 months. Many of our public servants, those of you in the room, some of you will be on increments as well. So with a 2% increase in wages, you know, the improvements for take-home pay will be closer to 4 or 5% in some cases. In fact, in some cases, it's as high as 6.5%. But I wanted to say we've had some very constructive discussions with the unions in recent times. We've still got to get to an outcome. We've made it perfectly clear that if we move off 2%, that any increase above 2% will need to be funded by savings to offset. We will definitely not be borrowing to fund operational expenditure. We want a sensible and affordable outcome, and I think for all of us, an efficient and effective public sector is in all of our interests. Now, the last point I wanted to make, Tasmania on the national stage. One of my proudest moments was back in 2015. I think it was the first NAB survey for that year in terms of confidence. And we were able to put a premier on the national stage for the first time and actually say that Tasmania was the most confident jurisdiction in the country. Now, I'm pleased that we've been able to do that in an ongoing sense. And our economy, I like to think, has actually now joined the national economy. There is a view about Tasmania that I think has changed to where it was 20 years ago. In fact, you know, I well recall, and I was saying to a couple of people earlier today, that you know, in 2002, I remember the then mayor, new mayor of Launceston, Janie Dickinson, saying that she'd gone to Sydney in 1995, and she very quickly learned to actually explain to people that she was from the suburb that she was living in Sydney, not Tasmania, because you'd be the brunt of a series of jokes or derision. And I could understand that. Back in 85, I had the same thing when I went to Western Australia. Very quickly, I became, you know, where are you from? I'm from West Perth, or I'm from Mount Lawley, rather than I'm from Tasmania, because of the standing national jokes. It's almost compulsory now for somebody on the mainland to either be related to us or to have visited Tasmania. And I think, in terms of the point I want to make today around football, we are one of the football foundation states. There is no argument with that. The fact that as a state we don't have a team in the national competition, I think is a national disgrace, and I think it's something that we need to fix, because I think it's a state's rights issue. And it's something that, as a state that has an enormous passion for the game, you know, 1 in 10 in Tasmanians play football. 115 clubs, 16 leagues, and as a result, we've established recently the new Football Tasmania Board to actually work on two key principles. One is that we want to grow the base. The second is that we want to forge a path to an AFL team. And why do we want to grow the base? Well, the reason we want to grow the base is, whilst there's been a flatlining in participation numbers in the last 12 months, for the previous 10 years, football lost 14% of its kids that were playing the sport, 22% of its teenagers, and overall nearly 15% of the people participating in the sport are no longer participating. You know, we need to arrest that, and we need to take our position on the national stage. Now, finishing, I wanted to just share with you my story on cricket. In the 1970s, as a boy, I remember watching, and in fact it was interesting, some of you may have even been at the dinner on Friday night where the Gillette Cup team was fated 40 years after its success in the one-day international series that was running then. I was back at high school and I can still recall that Tasmania was not good enough to play in the Shield. Now what's happened since then, we were given a two-year trial period in the Sheffield Shield. Since then we played in seven finals, we won three of them, runner-up in four. But interestingly enough, since then, we have had on a per capita basis more international cricketers come out of this state than any other jurisdiction in the country. Today, when you look back, it seems incongruous that we are not, that we would ever have not been a part of the national game of cricket. And I think in 25 years to 30 years, when people are looking back, they'll look at Tasmania and say that it was incongruous that up until, you know, the turn of the 2020s, that Tasmania didn't have a team. And so it's a different topic to raise today, but I think it's an important one, because I think what it does, it says very clearly that we're a part of the Federation, we deserve our right, we deserve our team, and importantly, what we're prepared to do is to lay down a pathway to get it, and that's exactly what we're going to do. So with that, thank you very much, and look forward to some questions.